This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, bringing you another old-time, old-fashioned message we call the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Yes, we go out here Monday through Friday at the same time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. We've been here quite some time now. We hope that you are listening and hope that you're inviting others to tune in. We're getting much response from the messages over the radio. Folks are writing in saying, keep on, Pastor, keep on bringing God's truth. And may the Lord use the message, my friend. Our only aim here at Radio Missions, our only purpose here at the Old Trailblazer broadcast, is to bring you God's message in hope and in praying that the Lord will open a heart, one here and one there, and that you may come to know the Lord before it's eternally too late. What is this life, my friend, to go through this life and to come down to the end of life and have nothing to show? The Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you see how frivolous folks are throwing their souls away this morning? Oh, my, my. I see folks out in the world. They're concerned about the world. They're concerned about their boat, their camp, their motorhome. They're concerned about everything except their soul, my friend. And they live like they're going to live forever. But you and I know that one day those eyes will close in death. And then where will eternity find you, my friend? Are you thinking about your soul? Is it too early to think about your soul? I don't think so. No, I tell you, I believe we should be aware day by day. The Bible says, make our calling and election sure. That's what we should be doing. We've been bringing you a series of studies on the sovereignty of God, and we want to look at God's sovereignty in salvation. Did you know that no sinner comes to Christ except the Lord draw him? The Bible said no man can come to the Son except the Father draw him. The Bible says that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The Bible says, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Listen, folks, the Lord God is omnipotent. He is, and he reigneth, and his sovereign rule is exercised over all intimate matter, all over the brute beast, all over the children of men, the angels, Satan himself. And we may further say that no revolving world or universe, no shining star, no element, no moving creature, no action of men, no angelic errands, no satanic deeds, nothing in the entire universe can come to pass other than according to God's eternal purpose. Now, my friend, that's God's word this morning. That's true. This is the sure foundation of our faith, the resting place for our intellect, and the anchor of our soul, which is sure and steadfast, because it is not a blind faith, my friend. We don't have a blind faith. We know that God is sovereign. We do. And listen, let me further state that the Lord God of heaven and not the unbridled wickedness of man or Satan governs this world. No, Satan doesn't govern this world. He's not the final authority. And according to his own purpose, he for his own glory, that we may know, according to Jonah 2:9, that salvation is of the Lord. I know it is true that the Lord does not save all, even though he saves a great multitude, which no man can number. You might answer, if God saves some, why not all? We know it is not because they're too sinful, not because they're too depraved, because Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15 that God saved him, the chief of sinners. We also know that it's not because some are too stony-hearted to be won to Christ, because God said in Ezekiel 11:19, I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. This same truth is set forth in Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now, my friend, that's salvation. The Lord said, I will give you a new heart. Is that what you have, my friend? Did the Lord give you a new heart? Or did you just turn over a leaf somewhere? Did you walk down the aisle and shake some preacher's hand? That's not salvation. That's modernism to the core, my friend. That's easy believingism to the core. Also, we know that men are not too stubborn, too defiant, or too rebellious that God is not able to bring them to Christ, that he might save them. As we know, all things are possible with God, according to Matthew 19:26. I wish you'd just take your Bible, especially the four Gospels, and read them as we bring in these studies. All saved people once walked into the council of the ungodly. That's right. Do you know the Lord? If so, once you walked in the counsel of the ungodly and stood in the way of sinners and sat in the seat of the scornful, according to Psalms 1:1, all saved people, all children of God, once said, as recorded in Luke 19:14, we will not have this man to rule over us. In essence, we've all said that. There was once a time when every born-again believer, those who know the Lord, according to John 5:40, would not come to him that they might have life. And there was a time when every born-again believer said, according to Job 21, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? We are all depraved, my friend. Do you know anything about the total depravity of man? What is total depravity? Man is a sinner. Man comes into this world born of a woman, a sinful man, a sinful woman, a sinful boy and girl. Listen. Then the question is asked, what brings about the change in an unbeliever that brings him to the place where he's known as a believer? Now, that's one of the questions that folks ask me. What happens? Why is a sinner saved? What happens? What comes about? Listen now, with bowed heads and shamed faces, every believer has to acknowledge that there was a time when he secretly and openly defied God and rejected his son. I don't care how religious you were. I don't, my friend. That doesn't make a hill of beans difference to me. Then, since this change has taken place in the heart and life of every believer, we may ask the question, what brought the unbeliever from a haughty, proud self-sufficiency to a humble, repentant, believing sinner? What brought about that rebellious attitude as an enemy of God to the place where he's now at peace with God? That's a good question, isn't it, my friend? What brought that about? Listen, every born-again believer can say with the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am, 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. As no man has power to bring another to Christ. Now, I hear these folks talking about leading a sinner to Christ. I do. But, my friend, that's a misnomer. You can't lead anyone to Christ. I hear folks say, well, you give me a Bible and a sinner, and in 10 minutes I'll lead them to Christ. No, you won't. You just make them 2-4 more the child of hell because you lead them to believe that they're saved when they're not. No, my friend, listen, no man can bring you to Christ. I can't bring you to Christ. I can't open your heart. I can't break your heart. No, listen. Oh, it was God's power. Only the power of God that brought you to Christ. Yet he did not force you, as he does not coerce any rebel who is against his government and against his will. Do you know the Lord won't save you against your will? You will to go to hell this morning? You will to have your own way? You go ahead. You go on. The Lord not going to force you to turn to Christ. No. If the Lord God of heaven was able to subdue your will and mind and win your heart and mind and bring about without interfering with our moral responsibility, then surely he's able to do the same thing with others. If he was able to break that old will of ours, then he can do it with others. You concerned about your family? My lady friend, you concerned about your husband? The Lord's able to break that old stubborn will. My man, are you concerned about your children, your in-laws, and your family? The Lord's able. Not for one moment would we seek to account for the course of the wicked and their ultimate fate by believing that God is unable to save them because they won't let him. Don't ever believe that someone went to hell because God wasn't able. No. You might argue that the same time came when you were willing to receive Christ as Savior and Lord, but there's one thing that you'll have to admit, that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, made you willing. Listen, folks. Surely you became willing to know the Lord, not on your own volition, not on your own strength. Lo, for within yourself you did not possess the power. You didn't have the power to become willing, and no sinner does. I see that every day in my congregation here. I look into their face, and I tell them to turn to the Lord, yet I know they can't turn. But in response, in my next verse, I say, Lord, turn them. Lord, turn them. Lord, turn them, and they shall be turned. Did you know one of the greatest prayers that a sinner can pray, my friend? There's two prayers, really, that you can pray if you're lost. Lord, open my heart. What will that do? It'll revolutionize your life. Lord, open my heart. Don't pray anything else. Don't pray for the president. Don't pray for the congressman. Don't pray for the mayor. Don't pray for this, and don't pray for the crops to be made a good crop and all of those things. Ask the Lord to open your heart. Lord, open my heart. Lord, show me my heart. Lord, would you just show me my heart? If you should ask me then, why does God make men willing? Then remember this one thing. God is sovereign, does as he pleases, and does not seek to explain, nor does he ask anyone else to explain his sovereign will. You may continue to ask the question, why are all men not saved, and especially those who hear the gospel? I know it is true that the majority of men and women refuse to believe, but this is only part of the truth. I know that the unsaved are lost because they refuse to believe, and others are saved because they do believe. Now let's look at the divine side of salvation so that God will not be robbed of his glory. Let's look at the divine side, my friend. Let's consider this question. Why do some believe and others not believe? Those who believe, what causes them to put their trust in Christ? You cannot say it is because they are born more intelligent than those who do not believe. You cannot say they are quicker to discern the need of salvation than those who never trust Christ. The Apostle Paul answered that question in 1 Corinthians 4:7. This is God's word. I tell you, day by day we bring in you, thus saith the Lord. And listen, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received? Who maketh thee to differ? Could I ask you that, my friend? You out there in the radio audience of the Old Trailblazer broadcast? My heart goes out to you this morning. Could I just ask you, are you saved this morning? Who makes you to differ from the drunkard down there in the gutter? My woman friend, who makes you to differ? You know the Lord? Why aren't you the harlot over there in the red light district somewhere? Did you do it on your own? You said, well, no, you didn't do anything, my friend. God, it was God who made the difference. But would you just meditate there with me today as you go about your daily work, your chores, there in the office, there in the shop, there in the schoolroom? Who made you to differ? Who made you to be blue-eyed and blonde-haired when someone else is dark-eyed and dark-headed? Who made you to differ, my friend? Oh, you say, well, the genes. Well, my friend, who made the genes? Who made the genetics, my friend? Listen. God is sovereign. Now, that's not a big word. It means simply that he does as he chooses to do. With your heart, with my heart, with the heart of everyone, he said, the king's heart is in his hand, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. Did you know you can't thwart God? Did you know you can't do that? Did you know you can't have your way and get by with it? No, my friend, God's way is going to prevail. No matter what you think, no matter what you say, you can kick against the pricks like the old Apostle Paul did, old Saul. But the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why kick against the prick? You can't win, my friend. Did you know you can't win fighting God? For God is sovereign. He can snap out your life like a flea, my friend. No, listen, this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. I wish we had more time. We'll get in our next study there and thinking about who maketh thee to differ. I wish you'd read and study God's word just for me and before we come back on our next time. Remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.